there. And well, he goes on to here, as you said, it's very daunting, but God's promises remain true. I was just last night thinking about the operations. Actually, she did email to us that Doug's got to the point where he felt he could hardly face any more operations. But God's promises remain true. Last night I was reminded of a prisoner in jail during the war. Written on the wall of his cell was, "I know the sun is shining, but I can't see it." And she said this on her email, "So glad we walk by faith and not by sight. So very thankful for your prayerful encouragement and grateful to God that his mercies are new every morning. We will write and let you know when the surgery is to take place." They're leaving where they are in Cairns to be, to get the operation. And she quoted the verse, only got this morning it was, and she quoted the verse we preached on Sunday morning. Well, she puts three verses, 1 Peter 1:5-8, humbling herself, casting your care upon him. And she said, God is keeping careful watch over us, and we know that. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great that makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation. In the meantime, I donned a quote from that verse that talks about pure gold. Sorry, 1 Peter 1 she has as well. That's the one about the gold. And that's the first chapter. She talks about the gold as well in that chapter. You know that when you're trying, your sufferings will come through as gold. So you think of people like Doug we worked with for quite a few years on the mission field, and now they're going through a time of trouble. Time of trouble, operation after operation, no nose, almost blind now, the whole roof of the mouth, the palate, and some of the jaw, and so on. Well, it says here, in time of trouble, we can call upon the Lord. Could be emotional trouble, could be spiritual attacks of Satan. But I'm saying there are serious times come into the life. But notice also, and this struck me when I was reading this morning, in the morning. Isn't that interesting? Serious times can come in the morning. The morning. When we rise, we don't know what the day will bring forth. We have our plans all made, and the plans can suddenly be shattered. I had some plans yesterday, but I had nothing serious, just a slight tummy upset. Probably say a surgery right for eating too much, but things change quickly. But more seriously, on Monday morning, it was about 10:15 or so. I'd been up seeing Ian, of course, on the Sunday. And he was talking away and talking to his family. But Edith telephoned just after 10 o'clock, by 10:15, to say that the hospital had rung and just to come quickly and to bring the family, because Ian had a massive heart attack. So when we got up to the hospital, the news wasn't good. They were trying to get him stabilised. They said they couldn't get the blood pressure up. They couldn't get the heart stabilised. But if they did, they were going to put him under, sedate him and ventilate and so on. So we were in for just a very, very quick moment. Edith was there and says, "Did I come?" So I let her go. And then I just very quickly just assured him we're praying. And quoted, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." There was a doctor's waiting with the needles and intensive care to put him under sedation. And then it got worse. It was about an hour or so later, they said he was too ill to move to the Royal. Now, there's been some slight improvement. Wife and I were up there just round about before tea time. But he still is very ill. Very, very ill. He's not been moved yet to the Royal. And we know you'll be praying for him tonight and for Edith. Andrew did fly back yesterday. The hospital advised Edith to get him home. He was due to go home today, but they advised to get him home as soon as possible. So we know you'll remember Ian tonight. In the morning, how things can change. I was reading this verse this morning, just thinking of those things. Serious times can come. We know not what a day may bring forth. In the morning, while there's something nice about getting up in the morning and it's a new day, a fresh day, yet serious times can come. But then notice his specific requests in the verse. His specific requests. Look what he prays for. He wanted the Lord to be gracious unto us. Isn't that wonderful? We have a gracious God. God is gracious. God gives us what we don't deserve. We can't come to God and say, Lord, I demand. But God is gracious. That's what gives us hope. We've experienced His grace and salvation. When you trust Him as Savior, you realize that it's only His grace. We don't deserve our sins forgiven. We don't deserve a home in heaven. We don't deserve to be children of God. We don't deserve to even be able to pray. But it's His wonderful grace. And of course, we could go through the New Testament. I'm not for time. We've done it before, but there's other types of grace. Not only saving grace, there's serving grace, there's sacrificing grace, there's suffering grace. Remember, Paul was told by the Lord when he prayed about the thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul wrote to young Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace. And so he prays, Lord, give us grace. And that's what we can pray tonight. Oftentimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought. You know, we could pray tonight, give that missionary family, Doug and Beth Crute, out there. You don't have to remember anything. Just give that missionary family, give them of your suffering grace. Give them your singing grace. But it talks about singing with grace in your hearts, to joy in the Lord. For Ian at this time, lying there in intensive care, Lord, be gracious. Be gracious. Pour out your grace. That's something we can pray. But not only that, he prayed for salvation. Notice that. Salvation. Now, of course, the main salvation is to be saved from our sin, to be saved from hell, to be saved from the guilt and power of our sin. But, of course, the word also means deliverance, so we could translate it. Lord, deliver us in this situation. Deliver us from the enemy. Specifically, it was the armies surrounding Jerusalem that were going to come. Hadn't arrived yet, but they were going to come. And Isaiah is saying, Lord, deliver us in the time of trouble. Save us. And we can pray, Lord, deliver us from the hand of the enemies. Because we face an enemy, Satan. Satan seeks to discourage us. Satan seeks to get us to doubt God. Seeks, attacks our faith. There is the world that would seek to draw us away with just the cares of the world. Not necessarily evil, though there could be sinful pleasures. But just the fact of being so busy. So busy with the things of life that we forget about God. That's an enemy. The flesh that would cause us to live for ease and not follow the Lord. And therefore we miss out on God's richest blessings. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lord, deliver us from these enemies. Deliver us from these enemies. That's a prayer. And so he was praying here that he would be delivered. But look again. Here's a wonderful, here's another specific request. He wanted God to be gracious to him. He wanted to see God's salvation. And here's a lovely one. Be thou their arm every morning. Isn't that tremendous? When you go out in the morning, you don't know what will come forth. To say, Edith and Monday had no idea what was going to happen there. We don't know what will come forth. But you can go out that morning and throughout the day with the arm of God around you. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Now, of course, God does not have literal arms. It's an expression for His strength. His strength. There are many, many verses that speak about the arm of God. Do you remember God delivered Israel, says, by a stretched out arm. That's how God describes it. God said, I stretched out my arm and I took you out of Egypt. What he's speaking about, His power. Psalm 89:10. Oh, don't turn to these for time. Thou scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Psalm 89:13. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand. Psalm 89, I like this one, Psalm 89:21, mine arm also shall strengthen him. And surely what Isaiah was praying, did he not know Psalms? They were mostly written before he was born. David lived a good while. David wrote most of the Psalms. I know not all, but they were written a long time before he was there. Did he not know that Psalm? How God says, my arm shall strengthen him. You see, when Isaiah is praying here in chapter 33, verse 2, he's praying, Lord, that we'd know your arm, that we'd know your strength. And there's a lovely picture in Genesis 49 of Joseph. Do you know the pictures there? Genesis 49:24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Here's Joseph, as it were. You know, a young archer, a young boy comes and goes to pull back the bow, and he's having difficulty. If it's a big man, strong bow, some of them can be very strong to pull, and he's pulling it back, and what happens? The stronger, experienced archer comes, puts his hands over the amateur or the novice's hands and helps pull back the bow. And that's exactly what God says. Joseph was strong and his bow abode in strength because his hands were made strong by God. God's arm came and helped Joseph. Is that not what this is? Surely is here what it's saying. That his arm, and of course his arm shelters. You know, think of Isaiah 40. He gathers the lambs in his bosom, carries them in his arms. You see the little newborn lamb, hardly able to walk, and the big shepherd picks it up, carries it. And the Lord says, that's what I do to my people. I'll carry you. Isn't that good in the morning when times of serious troubles around you, that you can say, the Lord is my arm today. He'll strengthen me. He will shelter me. He will support me. You remember Deuteronomy 33:27? Underneath are the everlasting arms. When you feel like falling, you feel you're falling. There's no support. There is a support if you're a Christian. Because the arms of God are round about us. C.H. Spurgeon on one occasion felt he would never preach again when he went through the awful fire. I'll not tell the whole story, many of you know about it, but people were killed in a fire when he was preaching. But he said he almost lost his reason. He said, I felt he would never preach again. And he said this in his book. He said that there was a horror of great darkness, of which I will say no more than this. I bless God that at the worst, underneath me, I find the everlasting arms. Isn't that wonderful? Underneath me, when things were darkest, I find the everlasting arms. But there's one thing about those arms, as I was reading about it, I remembered Isaiah. Remember Isaiah 53, just on over a few chapters. If you want to turn over to it, here's one we could turn to. Because I want to get down to prayer. I don't want to be too long tonight. And there's so much you could say about these things. Isaiah 53. Now this is obviously talking about Christ in the chapter. You look at verse 4. He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Verse 3. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. And so it's obviously Christ. But look at verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now the arm of the Lord is an expression that there's no doubt about it. When you read the context of the chapter, it's talking about Christ. It's talking about the coming Messiah and the sufferings. To whom is the arm of the Lord? What does it mean? The message of Calvary. It's about Christ. And so when I read here in Isaiah 33:2, Lord, be gracious unto us. Be thou their arm every morning. Yes, I believe it's even deeper. It's even more precious than saying, Lord, today may your strength, may your support, may your shelter be with me throughout today. I believe what we're seeing here, if you look at it carefully with Isaiah 53, it's saying, may the risen Savior be with me. Because he is our shelter. He is our support. Safe in the arms of Jesus, we sometimes sing. And so, this is a wonderful prayer about Christ. And isn't that what we can pray for people? Lord, support them in their trouble. And we need to pray it for ourselves every morning. This is a morning prayer. It's good to start the day before we do anything else, just to pause and have a quiet time with the Lord. Pause and wait and pray, Lord, may the Savior, may I know his presence. His arms around me thrown. Isn't there a hymn that talks something? And his arms around me thrown. Then, was it my sky shall fear? No. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where I will. I will go without a murmur. And his footsteps follow still. His arms around you thrown. Well, I can see here then the picture of course, the sign, "Revive thy work, O Lord," that's actually from Isaiah 52 and 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm. That's just over the few chapters on. Well, the arm of God then, notice there are serious times in Isaiah 33 and 2. Serious times. Times of trouble. The morning they can come quickly. There are specific requests. Lord, be gracious. Lord, save us. Lord, your arm, we need your arm upon us today. One last thing, the serious times, the specific requests. But look, here's our responsibility, submissive waiting. You see that? Why is the prophet saying, be gracious, be their arm? He said, we have waited. We have waited for thee. There's the submissive waiting. Of course, that involves prayer, doesn't it? Of course, it involves prayer. So waiting. You know the lovely verse in Isaiah 40? You'll find it towards around about verse 30, 31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word there, renew, actually means to exchange. Isaiah in chapter 40 talks about comfort ye the people. And he said how God never faints, he never wearies. The young men shall faint. We'll all faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall exchange their weakness, and God will give you his strength. That's a great exchange, isn't it? Lord, here's my weakness, and God gives us his strength. That's what it's saying. Waiting. Waiting upon the Lord submissively. And the only way to have this victory is to wait upon him. And that's why it's so essential to have times of waiting, times of sitting quietly in his presence. Now, I don't mean that we just sit and daydream all day. That's not what we're talking about. But sitting, waiting upon the Lord, it takes in prayer. That's what we're doing tonight in the prayer meeting. We're waiting upon the Lord. We're here to wait. We're here to listen. But we're here to sit in his presence. Very quickly, Isaiah later in the book says, the eye hasn't seen what God hath prepared for him that waits for him. Jacob declared, I have waited for thy salvation. You remember Job? All the days of my appointed time I will wait. The psalmist, of course, said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We have to do submissive waiting. Have you ever gone into a shop? I don't often say this. We joke, if you ever go to America, I'm sure we were too, all so polite. How are you? Have a good day. And all this, was they looking for tips in America? But, you know, we were joking, we were there, when you go, sorry, any of your shopkeepers here, but you know, and I say, what are you getting? Or, what do you want? I said, you're getting some shop. Maybe as we'll say, that's Belfast. I said, say to you, are you getting? Or as they're so polite. Of course, if you're very polite in Britain, you would say, is someone waiting on you? Are you being served? If ever, are someone waiting on you? Waiting. There's that word again. What does it mean, serving? Is that not part of what it means to wait here? You see, it talks in Proverbs about waiting. Waiting at the gates. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man who listens, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. The idea is of a servant. Servant. You see, don't they call the ladies that help the queen ladies in waiting? Ladies in waiting. They're serving. They're listening. And the idea is that here's a man and he's listening for the Lord. Of course, it's God in that passage. Listening for the Lord as the master to speak. In other words, I'm ready, Lord, for my orders. And it's not what they usually do in the morning. The servants would come to the home with the lords and ladies and they'll say, well, what have we to do today? And you have in this verse about the morning. And that's a good time to say, Lord, what have we to do today? Now, I notice I say, Lord, what? Not, here's what I have to do, Lord. That's a different thing. But Lord, what would you have me? Lord, I want to walk in your will today. I'm waiting. Waiters, of course, serve you in the restaurant. That's what a waiter does, isn't it? They serve you in the restaurant. And we've come tonight to wait on him. So we can wait on him in all circumstances. Wait expectantly. Wait submissively. That's what I called it there. Submissive waiting. You see, this waiting upon the Lord means we're submitting to him. Lord, your will be done today. Waiting expectantly. We're waiting upon him. Lord, you can do something that only you can do yourself. And if I just find this verse, I hope I can. Let us see. Yes, turn over to chapter 49. We'll finish with this. Chapter 49 and verse 23. Last part of the verse. Isaiah 49:23, and we'll just finish here. Look what it says. Isaiah 49 verse 23. Remember, we're talking about submissive waiting. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Isn't that wonderful? They shall not be ashamed. Actually, the word ashamed there has more than just our use of the word ashamed. It also means you'll be delighted. You'll be joyous. There's no need to be ashamed. It's all same connotation, but it's more than just what we think, that you'll not be ashamed. You'll be delighted. They that wait upon the Lord. I know we're in a hurry. I think Philip Brooks, he wrote one, just gives my mind which of the famous carols. It's one of the carols he wrote, very famous. Might have been A Little Town of Bethlehem from memory, but he wrote a very famous, he was a preacher in America, but on one occasion he was pacing up and down, up and down, up and down, and he had a secretary in his church, and the secretary finally said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said this, I love this, he said, what's wrong with you? He says, "I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." That's the problem. I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. He says, I'm having to learn to be patient, waiting upon the Lord. Yes, there's times of serious trouble. It can come in the morning. So I need to be prepared to make our specific requests. We can pray them tonight. Lord, be gracious. Lord, deliver those. And of course, we can use the word salvation in the way we normally use it. Lord, there's some not saved yet. Lord, save them. We're speaking now of being born again, of knowing Christ personally, of being forgiven of their sins. Lord, save them. Lord, your arm. Make bare your arm. Protect me. But now there has to be that submissive waiting. May we wait on the Lord tonight. Well, we're going to get down to prayer now. And can I just...